Hi, everyone. Let's get started. I'm Praveen Malu. I'm Product Marketing Manager for Skype for Business. My main focus is around mobility, so the mobile experience for Skype for Business and manageability and device security, application security for Skype for Business when you start looking at deploying some of these mobile applications within your organization. You've seen these slides a number of times, so I'm not going to touch base on them again. So I wanted to start with a key stat here. If some of you were in my morning session, you might have already seen this. But according to a Gartner study, 70% of mobile professionals will conduct their work on their personal devices by 2018. So this is a staggering number because you might have already been noticing in your organization with people bringing their own devices to collaborate, to be able to communicate and be more productive on the go. If you're not already handing out devices, mobile devices from your organization, they're bringing their own devices and using business applications on those devices. Well, that is becoming a norm than exception now, and to be ready for that, you want to ensure that you are ahead of the curve in terms of ensuring that collaboration on personal devices is happening at in a secure manner, right? And we realize that more people expect to be able to collaborate in an end-to-end manner, you know, using all their office applications that they're using today on their desktop, on their mobile phones and tablets as well. So our vision on mobile for Skype for Business is for you to enable collaboration end-to-end using not only just audio-video calls, but running your meetings, communicating, messaging, all of that, all the modalities that you would expect on a traditional desktop platform, we are enabling that on the mobile platforms as well. So a quick look at that in terms of where we are with respect to enabling mobility and on-the-go collaboration scenarios. As you can see, today we support Skype for Business mobile applications on all three platforms, Windows, iOS, and Android, on both phones and tablets. We've had the new Skype for Business modern applications with modern design for over a year now, and we've been expanding on what you can do with these apps, not just passively collaborate, attend a meeting, but be more active in terms of what you're doing with these apps. For example, just last month, we've added the ability to run meetings from your mobile devices. What that means is if you have a file, let's say a PowerPoint deck on your Cloud Drive app, on OneDrive for Business, and you are in a meeting and you want to be able to present right from your mobile phone, you can directly go to OneDrive from your Skype for Business app, select your file, upload the file in the meeting, and actually run through the presentation using swipe gestures just from your mobile phone. So that really enables you to not only view the shared content, but also upload content in the meetings. We've also enabled video-based screen sharing, which is a faster way of screen sharing at 15 frames per second. Full screen video, one-touch join, swipe gestures. So it's a really great on-the-go mobile experience that we're enabling, especially with some of the CallKit integration work that we're doing. We're extending your business phone, your soft phone, on your personal device. So there's a lot of good stuff happening, but for you to, as an IT organization, to feel secure about how your users are using the apps and letting them use these apps from anywhere, from any device, you want to make sure that you're managing the risk which comes with enabling these apps on their devices, right? And the risk is in terms of device security, app security, sensitive corporate data. It presents itself in many forms. But at the same time, you do not want to be the IT organization which doesn't enable these cool, productive, on-the-go collaboration scenarios for your end users. So keeping that in mind, what we've been doing is making sure that these apps are completely managed and secure. So we've done a lot of work around authentication protocols. We've embraced some of the modern authentication platforms. We'll talk about that in a, in a little bit. But we also integrated with Microsoft Intune, which is our first-party device management and application management solution, letting you not only manage the devices that people using Skype for Business or other Office applications on, but also granular app policies that you can push to the app, irrespective of whether the devices are managed or not, which is a key differentiator, because you know you're not necessarily have to manage the devices. If you're handing out corporate devices, definitely they're being managed, but people are bringing their own devices and you do not necessarily manage them, you can still push app policies onto Skype for Business and make sure that you still have control over the data and how the app is being used. So let's get familiar with some of the terms that we'll be talking about and laying the foundation for what we will talk about in the next few slides. So one of the key terms that you'll keep hearing, and you might have been hearing, you know, if you're using Skype for Business, how many of you are using Skype for Business on mobile and have deployed Skype for Business on mobile today? Well, that's great to see. So you must have heard modern authentication in some form or fashion in the last few months. So modern authentication is essentially your ability to sign into Skype for Business via Office 365, Azure AD, or via ADFS. As opposed to using legacy authentication protocols like passive authentication, which would require a separate, not user-friendly PIN, for example, or NTLM-based authentication. Those are some of the legacy authentication platforms that you might have been using. Modern authentication is our new authentication platform that we encourage you to use. It's a consistent form of authentication across all the Office clients, and not just mobile, but also desktop platforms as well. It enables key scenarios like multi-factor authentication. It enables token-based authentication with OAuth protocol, OAuth 2, and you can bring in third-party STS services as well if you're looking to integrate with third-party secure token services. Let's look at, I just talked about single sign-on. I just wanted to expand on that. Again, since it's a modern authentication is a token-based sign-in mechanism, authentication mechanism, you want to make sure that the tokens are shared across all the Office applications. So if there's a token exchange for, let's say, Outlook on your mobile phone, you want to make sure that the same token is read by Skype for Business and other Office applications so that your users, once they're signed into one managed, modern auth managed app, you don't want to sign in again into the app, which is not a very user-friendly experience, especially in mobile when you're trying to do things quickly on the go. Multi-factor authentication, again, providing another layer of security. If you are not, if you have strict security needs around enabling two factors of authentication and not just username and password, which is your typical first form of authentication factor. With multi-factor authentication, you can enable another layer of authentication mechanism, which can be, it's essentially something you have and something, plus a combination of something you know. So if you have if you know your user credentials, and then you also have your, let's say, mobile device with you, so you can enable a phone call-based second factor where, based on what configuration you have set for your user, you will get a phone call. You have to answer that phone call, enter a PIN, and then you can access the app. That's one example. PIN-based is another example, or SMS-based, where you have to respond to a security challenge via SMS. Azure Authenticator app, which is a more user-friendly way, and that's what I use personally. Microsoft IT has enabled multi-factor authentication, which means that I key in my username and password, and then I get a notification on Azure Authenticator app to key in a password that I know, or use my, if I'm using touch enabled phone like let's say iPhone 6, I can just use my fingerprints to be able to sign in, which is a very quick and user friendly way of doing the second factor of authentication. OAuth2, it's a standard protocol. It's used for authentication implemented by Office 365 AD and ADFS as well, and by Skype for Business Server. You might have been hearing about ADAL and modern authentication, and those terms have been used interchangeably in the past. But essentially, modern authentication is leveraging ADAL libraries, which is your Active Directory authentication library. So was there a question for me? Okay. So ADAL library is essentially being consumed by modern authentication platform. So we are updating the library constantly. So it's not a form of authentication, it's just the libraries being used by modern authentication, just to differentiate between the two. And one key thing is, using ADAL library, you can enable multi-factor authentication, for example, per user. So you can, you know, based on what your user needs are, you might decide to enable multi-factor authentication in a certain part of your organization. So a certain department, you might need more security and you want to enable, let's say, two-factor authentication. So you can have that control per user, at per user level in Office 365 versus enabling, you know, at an umbrella level. So let's look at Skype for Business Online and what's supported for mobile today. So first, you can definitely, one of the prerequisites is you need to enable modern authentication to be able to use Intune for Skype for Business or other Office applications. So modern authentication is a prerequisite, and that's why I wanted to kind of talk about that as well. You can manage your devices with Intune. One of the key advantages that you get with managing your device as well with Intune and Skype for Business is that some of the policies are at a device level, and if you're looking at preventing some of data leak scenarios with Skype for Business, you would want to ideally manage the device as well. One of the examples is for an iOS device, for you to be able to prevent, let's say, screen capture of a PowerPoint presentation in a meeting, it's a device level policy that you would have to set, which disables screen capture, which you would typically use using the home button and the power button, and then you can disable that at a device level to make sure that nobody's able to take screenshots of PowerPoint presentations in a Skype for Business meeting. That's not an app-level policy for iOS devices. So that's one of the platform-level differences, and that's why you would want to ideally manage your device as well. However, on Android, for example, you can prevent screen capture at an application policy level. So for BYOD and third-party MDM, I touched base a little bit on this one earlier. You can manage your application, you can manage Skype for Business using Intune, even with third-party device management solutions. So if you're managing your devices today with third-party device management solution, you might be using MobileIron and AirWatch or other solutions. We understand that you may not be able to move all your device management assets or investments over to Intune right away. That's where we would like you to be, but if you're still managing your devices, that doesn't stop you from managing Skype for Business application with Intune. Of course, you would need an Intune subscription if you're looking at doing any sophisticated level of application management with Skype for Business. If you're looking at basic application management capabilities, it comes with Office 365. So if you have Office 365, it has built-in basic application management capabilities. But if you're looking at a full-fledged way of managing the app and still keeping your MDM solutions intact, you can still do that. So we call it MAM without device enrollment, so it's essentially without MDM. So that's a great scenario if you have third-party MDM investments. One key thing is it includes conditional access as well. So imagine a scenario where you want to conditionally prevent access to the app. So conditional access lets you define conditions under which you want your users to be able to access the app. One of the key conditional access policies that we enable at Microsoft is your device should not be jailbroken, for example. So if you have an iOS device which is jailbroken, you might want to prevent access to the app based on that access policy. Another common example is being needing at least, let's say, iOS 8 or a higher version of your OS running on the device before you can access the app. So you can really set conditional access policies at a very granular level before you can even get to the app, for example. One of the, since we're talking about modern authentication, one of the advantages of modern authentication is we can also enable certificate-based authentication. So a lot of you may have, you may not have username and passwords when you're signing into the apps. And certificate-based authentication essentially allows you to sign in using, let's say, virtual smart cards, for example. You do not, your users do not have username and password. With certificate-based authentication as a means of doing modern authentication, that really allows you to do that. Right now, it's available online. We'll also be making certificate-based modern authentication available on-prem as well. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. This is a quick look at enabling modern auth for Skype for Business. You can do that via PowerShell commands today. There are a couple of examples here, how to check your current setting in terms of whether you enabled or not. This is something which we definitely want to enable as a UI, very easy user interface in your Skype for Business admin portal in Office 365. Today, it's a PowerShell-based approach where you can set your modern authentication policy for Skype for Business. It's a separate, if you have modern authentication for Exchange, it's a separate policy that you have to set for Skype for Business. That's one thing to keep in mind. It does not turn it off for all workloads. So, and whether it's enabled by default for your tenant in Office 365 or not, you can check it via the last PowerShell command as well. Sure, we'll open it up for Q&A at the end. So if you can hold your questions, that'll be great. So I want to show some of this in real time. So let's try to see what that experience looks like. Let me switch here. So as you can see, this is a demo device that I have right now. And I've enabled, so I have Skype for Business on this device. And this device is managed and enrolled in the company portal. So it's essentially a managed device. And that is why I need a passcode to be able to actually use the phone. I would not have been able to use Skype for Business on the phone if I did not have passcode enabled access to the phone. So that's why I have a passcode requirement on the phone because of that policy. We'll look at that in a bit as well, how the admin experience looks like. But I'm going to sign in here. It's not a secret password, so you can all look at it. So as you can see now, I'm in my phone, basically. And I've also set a policy for Skype for Business that I need a PIN to be able to access. That's just another layer of security that I've added for Skype for Business app. I could disable it. You have granular control again over how often you want your users to be entering a password, a PIN for accessing the app. What apps do you want to enable this? Again, this is at a user level and at an app level. So if you want Outlook to be managed the same way, you could do that. If you wanted certain users to not have to require app passwords, you can do that as well. So as you can see, now I am in Skype for Business app. I had set my time to 2 minutes so that I actually can demo that. Let's go into one of the conversations. As you know, increasing amount of conversation is now happening with these messaging apps, right? You're able to share documents, you're presenting, you're having day-to-day conversations. And with that comes the risk of inadvertently, knowingly or unknowingly, leaking corporate data. And you might not be knowing, you might be doing it with knowledge as well. But let's try to copy this piece of information. Let's imagine this is sensitive information. I want to copy this information and paste it into an unmanaged scenario. So I copy the information, and I'm going to go to, let's say I want to go to my mailbox, which is a native mail. I don't have any mail accounts added, so I'm going to go to Safari. I'm going to pretend I'm in an unmanaged app, and I try to paste that information. As you can see, I do not get an option to paste whatever I copied just now, because Safari is an unmanaged app on my phone. It's not managed by the company, so there's no way for me to be able to copy and paste that information. But let's imagine a scenario, which is a very common scenario. You're working between your Outlook client and your Skype for Business client. Very, very often you're doing back and forth, you're attending your meetings, your calendar is in Skype, in Outlook and Skype for Business as well. So you want to share that information with a colleague via Outlook. And as you can see, now I'm able to paste that information from Skype for Business into Outlook. And why you're able to do that is this is also managed app. I'm managing Outlook app just as I'm managing Skype for Business with the same management policies. So Outlook knows that, hey, I'm being managed, so it's okay to paste that information from Skype for Business into Outlook. So we look at that. Let's also look at, what if I want to screen capture this information and send it to someone? That should be fairly easy, right? I should be able to just do a normal screen capture that you're used to doing. So I'm going to press the power button and the home button. That's how you take a screen capture on an iOS device. I don't really remember how you do it on Android, but as you can see, it's not doing anything. It's not flashing. It's not taking a screen capture of that. So it's really powerful if you're sharing PowerPoint presentations. You want to avoid a screen capture of sensitive information in PowerPoint decks. You can totally do that. So I'm going to switch over to the admin portal. I might have to log in again. I might have timed out, but let's look at that as well. I'll have to sign in again. Just give me a second. So as you can see, this is a dashboard view. Some of you might have attended other Intune sessions and might be familiar with this, but just a quick overview. This is a demo account, so you see only one iPhone here registered. This is one device that I have enrolled in the company portal. Oh, sorry about that. It should be coming up. It's the right. It's not switching to this one.
I think it's extended. You probably got to drag the whole thing over. See, it's extended. So you got to push it all over.
Oh, it's extended. Sorry about that. So as you can see, this is a quick look at the dashboard. You can see I only have one device which is managed right now. And that's the device I was on and showing you from. Let's go to the admin console. Just a minute, let me try to switch it from extend to duplicate here. You guys can still see it? So as you can see, I'm managing the policies at a security group level. So what that helps you do is, you know, if you have, if you want to have different sets of policies for different sets of people in your organization, you don't have to keep adding and removing people one by one. You can have security groups based policies so that you can add people to the security group and have that policy apply on the security group instead of at a user level, so that you can name your policies however you want. For example, you might have a policy for your finance team, which is, you know, I'm just taking an example. And you, for your IT organization, you might have a separate policy. So it just lets you manage that easily. So as you can see, I can add and remove people and security groups to my Intune security group to be able to easily do that. Let me go into Skype for Business policies. Just a second here. So as you can see, we saw an example of requiring a password to unlock my device, and that, so this is the policy which is driving that behavior. So you saw that I had to unlock my phone using a password. It needed a password. You can also define what kind of password you enforce on that device. It can be numeric, alphanumeric, is, you know, number of characters. You want to enable simple passwords or not. So you really have granular control over what sort of passwords you need. You can also determine, you know, if you imagine a scenario when someone leaves their phone behind inadvertently, and in that case, if you already have access to Skype for Business and you're logged in, anybody can access Skype for Business app or any other app, for example. So you can, using this policy, you can control, you know, within, you know, a minute or within 5 minutes, it should automatically lock. Just as you're managing your, you know, desktop apps, for example, via SSCM, if you're managing, so you can bring all over the same policies that you are pushing to your desktop users. It's actually no different than that. So as you can see, we also have some voice and Wi-Fi policies that you might be interested in. I've had a few customers ask me, hey, can I disable some of the Wi-Fi policies on the mobile phone while people are using Skype for Business apps? So there's some policies around voice and network settings as well, which you get access to with Intune. We can go into some of these in detail, but I will definitely encourage you to sign up for a trial tenant, trial subscription, and have a look at some of these granular policies. One of the key, I do not have any policy conflicts right now, but with all these policies that you're setting at a device level and application level, one thing you would notice that as you have more users and you have more policies at a device level and application level for different applications, you would start seeing conflicts in terms of what you're trying to do. So this is a great way of resolving policy conflicts that might be there at an application level. You might be disabling copy-paste or, let's say, screen capture at a device level, but at an application level, you have enabled that for Skype for Business, let's say. So this can really surface all those conflicts that you might have very easily for you. So I'm going to switch back to the presentation here. So some of you might be wondering, hey, this is great about the great that you have all these online. How about on-prem customers? Are we also supporting some of this for on-premises and hybrid topologies? Yes, we totally want to. We are there in, you know, partially. We're not there completely. We're still working through some of the details. We want to enable Intune, MDM, and MAM policies for on-prem users as well. Good news is modern authentication is completely supported today for Skype for Business on-prem customers as well, which means you can enable multi-factor authentication without Intune. You can enable multi-factor authentication using modern authentication on-prem. You can enable, at least you can manage you know, the way passwords are stored. For example, modern authentication does not store your passwords on the device locally because it is token-based. You're dealing with tokens over when you're doing modern authentication. So we'll look at that user flow as well, what happens, and how you can benefit from some of those policies when you're actually on-prem and you do not have Intune support for Skype for Business. So as you can see, on-prem asks, they're very clear today. We're looking at them with our identity management team. We're working very closely with them. We're looking at enabling certificate-based authentication for on-prem and hybrid customers. I do not have any dates to share if you're looking at enabling that for on-prem customers, but we're actively looking at that and making sure we get there for our on-prem customers as well. Conditional access and MAM policies as well. It's available only for online users today. For Office 365 users, but we are looking at bringing that over to the on-prem world as well. As you can see, support for Skype for Business modern auth split domain. So as you can see, it starts to get a little complicated when you're looking at Skype for Business and Exchange because, you know, in all scenarios, most of the scenarios, you would have some sort of Exchange integration as well with Skype for Business for your conversation history, you know, they're integrated. So depending on what your topology is for Exchange and Skype for Business, you get into a split domain sort of a scenario where, you know, you might have your Skype for Business users online and Exchange users on-prem. So that's a split domain scenario, but we do support Skype for Business modern auth today if it is a split domain as well. So that is, if you have your Skype for Business users online and Exchange users on-prem. So let's look at some of the flows and what's going on behind the scene. We've talked about this, I'm not gonna, yeah. So as you can see, this is an overview of modern auth user flow, essentially, what's happening behind the scenes in terms of token exchanges and the resources. So as you can see, I have user, the app, the resource, which is, you know, the app which the user wants to access, and the auth server. So there are about 7 steps in the entire process. User requests access to the resource, which is, I want to access the Skype for Business app. The app contacts the resource. The resource delegates to the authorization server, which is essentially deciding, giving you the challenge, the token. The user provides credentials to the authorization server. Authorization server provides token back to the app, and app provides token back to the server. So one of the key things you would notice here is there's no passing back and forth of actual user credentials. This is the key differentiator with modern authentication is you're dealing with tokens. So it is secure in the sense that the user credentials are not stored on the device, nor being passed over the wire when you're actually doing authentication. Here's a quick look at certificate-based authentication overview. So if you're an online user, you are looking at enabling certificate-based auth. As you can see, the flow is slightly different and a little more complicated. We'll have a let's have a quick look at it. User accesses the Skype for Business app. App contacts Skype for Business, rather the server. App asks AAD for the token here. And AAD redirects to Federation server. As you can see, the Federation server is what is different when you're looking at a non-certificate-based authentication model. And Federation server returns the token back to AAD. AAD returns token to the app, and then app broker presents token to SFB. As you can see there, again, no need of username and passwords. So if your organization does not have any username and passwords, you can use certificate-based authentication. Currently, it's only for online users. So let's look at the platforms and what is available today. So MDM is available for iOS and Android today. You can enroll, you can use both iOS and Android devices. You can manage those policies. We'll go back to the admin portal in a minute and have a look at that. As we saw examples, you can require PIN lock. You can have conditional access policies to prevent jailbroken devices. You can have OS versioning policy as well, which is, hey, I want only OS 8.8, iOS 8.8 or later to be able to access Skype for Business. So that's an example we looked at recently. So let me go back to, before we get into Q&A, I'll go back to the admin portal and we will look at some of the iOS policies as well. So as you can see, this is one flow that I wanted you to walk you through with. Is if you're looking to enable device management policies on an iOS device, the typical flow would be you would be dealing with some APN certificates as well, which is Apple push certificates. So if you're an admin and you're looking to enable device, you're looking to manage the apps and enroll the apps via company portal, you would have to have an APN certificate. So typically, you would go to the Apple Push Certificates portal. You would log in using the Apple ID for your organization. Once you're logged in into the Apple Push notification, Apple Push Certificates portal, you would be able to actually download and create the APN certificate that you need to upload back into the Intune portal. So as you can see, I already have created for my device management needs from Microsoft, I've created, it's an active certificate, it expires in a year. I have downloaded this APN certificate. You would find more resources on the web as to how to create this, but it requires a little bit of patience to be able to create a certificate. And once you're done downloading the certificate from Apple APN portal, you go ahead and upload the APN certificates out here. So that enables, so what that does is from now you can push the APN certificate onto the company portal. And once you're in the company portal, you can actually enroll the devices. So I'm going to switch over here and actually show you the company portal experience as well. So as you can see, for end users to actually enroll their devices, they would have to download the company portal, which essentially allows them to enroll their devices. So once you access the app, I've already accessed the app on this device, and it is already enrolled, and that's why you see my phone already listed here. I can actually remove this device, and as you can see, I get a warning that, hey, if you remove this device, it will not be listed in the company portal, and it will wipe all my company data. So essentially, it's doing you're able to do a remote wipe of your company data on, you know, if it's Skype for Business data or other application. So if it's not managed anymore, you're looking to delete all that information. So I'm going to actually remove this device. So this device is not listed on the company portal anymore. As you can see, I get a red bang here. So I'm going to try to actually go back to Skype for Business app. Should be reflecting here. I'll give it a second. While it does that, let's go back to the, I think it's reflected here. So as you can see, it took a few seconds to actually push that out to my app, but I'm getting an app wipe alert right now because I unrolled my device from the company portal, and that, of course, means that I should not be able to keep any corporate data associated with my app, which is Skype for Business, on this device. So imagine a scenario where you have users in your organization who are leaving the organization. It happens, it's a common scenario. You're using Skype for Business on your personal mobile devices. You are with the organization, but next week you're not with the organization, but your devices are not company owned. They're private, you know, personally owned devices. So you do not really have control over those devices and how the data on corporate data on the device is being used. Once the user leaves the organization, you can, you know, unroll that device using the admin portal as well. Right now, I triggered that from the end user standpoint, which is I removed the device myself. But as an IT admin, you can remove the device as well. And once you remove the device, it will force a remote wipe of corporate data associated with all the managed apps. And so if you're managing Skype for Business app and you remove your device, remove any user's device, it will wipe all corporate data from that device. So as you can see, let's try to access the app again and let's look at that experience. Bear with the demo Wi-Fi here, it's a little slow. While it does that, let's go back to the company portal. Well, let's try to enroll again and see what the behavior looks like. So I'm going to actually begin the enrollment process here. So this is how the end user experience would look like if you're trying to enroll the device. So as you can see, this is the end user experience is trying to be very transparent about what's being managed so that, you know, you're not creating friction in terms of adoption and user experience. End user experience is very transparent in terms of what you're managing and why you're not able to do certain things so that you're not, IT is not coming in the way of adoption. So as you can see, I'm now going to enroll my device again just to walk you through how the enrollment experience looks like for end users. So I'm being redirected to the company portal. It's enrolling my device again. So this is the management profile which we downloaded. So this is the APN certificate that I was talking about, which if it is not signed, as you can see, this is a signed certificate which you would need to install and you need to download from the Apple Push Certificates portal and upload into your Intune portal. So I'm going to install that profile here. I need to enter my passcode. So as you can see, again, it lets the end user know that, hey, installing this profile will allow the administrator to remotely manage this phone. As an end user, I know that's the only way to gain access to the app, so I'm going to allow that to happen. It's finishing up the enrollment process, and I come back to the company portal, and I will see the device enrolled. So as you can see, it's back to being a managed device again. And now it's running the policies that I have set on my phone. So now that I have enrolled the device, it's checking whether I meet the minimum OS requirements and other policies that I've set for my phone. While all that's done, I'm going to go back to Skype for Business app and try to sign in again. If the Wi-Fi is working fine. So as you can see, I'm also managing Outlook app with the same policies, and I'm not able to access the app directly anymore. It's checking if I meet the requirements for the app again. So just the same experience that you saw on Skype for Business, I get an app wipe alert, so none of my emails will be stored anymore on this device. They will all be wiped, and I would have to restart the phone. So just wanted to give that end user experience walkthrough. So with that, I actually wanted to open up for Q&A if you had any questions in terms of the roadmap for what's coming for Intune, for Skype for Business, modern authentication, certificate-based authentication, anything top of mind. I know you had a question, so we'll take that. If anyone else had any questions, please feel free to come to the mic, and then we'll answer that. So you can control which devices you want to push this policy on.
I'm not talking about controlling the device. How do I block the user not to be able to log in from any device, only from those particular devices?
Sorry, I'm having a hard time hearing you. If you can come up to the mic, that would be great.
So how do I allow the user's particular devices, only those selected devices, able to log into Skype? Mm-hmm. Not from any device. Usually, Skype for Business, you can log in from any device, right?
Yeah, so you can require devices to be enrolled, and only then you can allow access, right? So using conditional access, you can manage that. So if you put a conditional access policy that only enrolled devices with the company get access, that's an easy way of ensuring that none of the unenrolled devices get access to the app. That's a very straightforward policy that you can set. Yeah.
I have a very similar question like that. But when you say a conditional access rule, where you configure it, it's in the mobile device management solution, right? It's not within Skype. For example, if I go to a store and buy a new phone, and I can download the Skype for Business app from the public marketplace.
Yep.
And I can put my credentials and sign in. How will you stop that kind of scenario?
Yeah, so if you set a conditional access policy, as you saw, right now I had the app downloaded, right? It's on my phone, and I tried to access it, but because I had the policy that I need to require my device to be enrolled before I can access, it did not let me sign in, right? It wiped all my data, and it did not let me sign in again into the app until I enroll my device again. So that's one way of ensuring that you're not able to just download and sign into the app. So it totally depends on the policies you set. I had set a policy that you need the device to be managed before you can actually, and I also had set a policy that if I have Skype for Business on my phone, I require a passcode. So for example, if I go back to my settings and I try to go to my passcode, I have to access my passcode, I have to enter my passcode again.
But it will allow any device to invoke.
Sorry?
So it will allow any device to invoke.
I think the question is more or less like, you know, you go to a store and buy a phone, new phone.
Yep.
It's not enrolled to the Intune.
Yep.
Now, you download the app, not from the company store. You download it from the public app store.
Yep. You can download. And as if you have a license, you would be able to sign in. If you don't manage the device or the app, you would be able to sign in.
Yeah, because this is one of the reasons I came to the session, because now the request coming from clients, so they want to prevent that happening. So there are some third-party solutions the partners offer.
Mm-hmm.
To validate the device, some authorized devices to be signed into Sky for Business. Is there any add-on, something we can install in Sky for Business as a proxy, like example, linkdiscovercompany.com, going to hit to the application proxy. The application proxy checks whether the device is authorized before we hit the Sky for Business server. Something like that, because if the device is not managed by mobile device management solution, there's no control how the Sky for Business know about it.
Yeah, so if you're not managing via a device management solution, which is Intune right now, we do not support third-party device management. We do not support third-party application management solutions. If you're trying to push application management policies to Sky for Business using third-party, it will not work. So Intune, you would have to manage it via Intune. You can do some form of, control using modern authentication. If you enable modern authentication and require multi-factor authentication, so that is one way of preventing just username and password access, right? So you would need a second form of authentication. But that doesn't mean that, if you block access to a second form of authentication, that is one way of managing without Intune. But I highly recommend you manage it via Intune so that you can push, you can make it more secure than you would with a third-party solution, for example.
I think that's what he's saying. It cannot be done in Intune today. Like, there are solutions out there like LinkShield, which allow you to proxy Intune.
No, he's saying without Intune, he's looking to do that. With Intune, you should be able to do that. So, yeah, LinkShield, it is a partner solution that we do recommend, but if you're using Intune, I'm still not very clear why would you still need to use LinkShield. If you're enrolling your devices with Intune and also pushing application management policies, you shouldn't be needing LinkShield at all.
Yeah, but that doesn't prevent me from doing what you're saying. I can go to the store, get the Skype app, point to my front end.
Even if you download it, I think what you should do is project the Windows Intune again. Probably maybe they will understand better.
Yeah, maybe let's look at some of the policies.
Right.
So if you can speak with the mic, dog here, so that others can hear as well.
I'm trying to solve a problem here. So I have a customer that they only allow to log into Sky for Business from three devices. That's it. That company knows about.
Yeah, any three other specific devices. Okay.
I'm sorry?
Three specific devices.
Three specific devices that company knows about, okay?
Yeah.
Whether Mac or whatever the way is, right? And any other device,
yep.
Even your conditional access, you have enrolled MDM, or you know password, you cannot authenticate. How do I do that?
So I think one way of doing that is ensuring that you are enrolling your devices yourself, and you're not allowing end users to enroll the devices. I haven't looked at that certain policy, but I'm sure there is a policy which allows you to IT admin to control what devices get enrolled. So I don't know if device mapping solves that problem or not. Device group mapping is. So let's talk offline so that I understand your requirement very clearly. Because right now I think you can achieve what you want to using device group mapping policies. If not that, using conditional access policies, a combination of that, you should be able to. But yeah, let's take it offline and stay in touch.
Okay. Yeah. My question is for the ITU, they control the Skype basically the mobile device. But for the mobile device, they have the EWS built in. They need to access Microsoft Exchange, like maybe online or maybe on premise. How they handle that kind of, is on the same policy or have to use different policy to handle EWS access?
So the question, just to understand, how do we manage Exchange and Skype for Business policies?
Yeah, because the mobile device, they have the built-in function need to connect to Exchange, EWS.
Yeah,
right?
So Exchange policies, as you can see, let me go back to the policies here.
But they have the different policy?
Yeah, so you can manage different policies. Let's give me a second here. So as you can see, right now, you can see Exchange Online policy. You can see Exchange On-Premises policy because Exchange already supports on-prem policies as well. Skype for Business does not support today, so it's only online policies with Intune. But Exchange policies are managed separately. I haven't set up any Exchange policies, but you can enable conditional access policy for Exchange as well, which really gives you granular control over how you control your Exchange as well. And they are separate policies with Exchange. And
because they are on the same app, because same app, they can, on the Skype Business app, they have built-in function to access Exchange EWS to get meeting information.
Yeah, so of course,
that also needs a separate policy to control that?
Yeah, so of course, Exchange has implication across apps, right? If you manage Exchange policies, you will see it reflecting in Outlook app, for example, because it is using Exchange to pull the calendar information, for example. It will also show in Skype for Business because we are pulling your conversation history from Exchange, we are pulling your calendar information again.
But I see the idea, they only say control the mobile for access Exchange or mobile access Skype for Business. Look like it's application management. It's not by access different device, I mean the different services. So that confused me is if they need to create two different policy,
mm-hmm.
and we have the mobile, they have the Outlook install. Also we have Xsync install on the mobile.
Yep.
But also if we do not install that, only for Skype Business app,
mm-hmm.
that also they have built-in function to access EWS. So that caused something confused.
Yeah, so I mean, I think you would have to test around some of these policies as well in terms of how you enable Exchange policies and what is the implication on Skype for Business as well. But of course, you would have to, there is some overlap, so to speak, in terms of the policies that you apply for Exchange and Skype for Business online.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, sir, can we set a policy on the Skype for Business online?
Okay. So this is essentially controlling what users you want to target or what security groups. You can either do it at a user level or at a security level. But I think his question was something else, which I'll hopefully answer offline. Any other questions?
Yeah, I have a MDM policy that sets our devices to wipe if the incorrect passcode is put in more than 10 times on the device, which is also a factory setting on like the iPhones.
Yep.
What we noticed is when you do, if you manually turn on the factory setting to do that and you type in the wrong passcode 5 times, it will prompt and say, you know, the screen's frozen for 2 minutes before you can try again. When we do it through Intune, there's no delay, so if you accidentally type in your wrong password 10 times, like in your pocket, it just wipes the phone. We've had five or six people do that.
Yeah, I'm aware of that, but unfortunately, we do not have control, native control over the the device itself, so we cannot control how Intune interacts with the actual hardware of the device. So I hear you that we do not have that 2 minute, so to speak, delay or the lag that you get when you're typing at a device level without Intune management.
Right. But I didn't know if a custom policy could be made for something like that.
No,
or
not today. But that's good feedback. But unfortunately, we cannot with the it's a platform limitation that we have today.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.
So we're running into an issue right now that I guess is documented on the support site for the split domain hybrid.
Yep.
Modern authentication, I guess, doesn't work.
So you have enabled modern auth in a hybrid setup, and you're not able to sign in. Is that
our users aren't Office 365, but we're doing SIP integration on-prem.
Yep.
And when we turn on the SIP integration for a user, it breaks the modern auth in the mobile app.
Is it on the iOS or Android platform?
Both, I think.
Both. Because I know that we fixed that last month. So.
Oh, that recently.
Yeah. So if you have tried it in the last couple of weeks and it hasn't worked, I'm kind of surprised, and I would definitely follow up with the support team as to why that's not working.
Okay.
And that's something which I specifically mentioned that it is working. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll show you the thing afterwards.
Okay. But. Sure. Yeah. Any other questions? All right. Thanks for your time, and hope you have a great evening and. Great party, this evening. Thank you.